One, and good to see you here tonight. I will teach a class this Wednesday, since we have three Wednesdays. The subject will continue to be on worship. My lesson will be taken out of Exodus chapter 3. I'd like to use the example of Moses as God speaking to Moses, what God wants Moses to do. And so that's one of the things I'd like. God has told Moses that he's called it, just a little bit background. How did they end up in Egypt? Moses' brothers were too happy with him. They sold. God was with Joseph. And so that's how the Israelites ended up in Egypt. There was a famine, right? Where there is food, Joseph sees his family, and Pharaoh or the king that knew Joseph passes away or dies, and so, you know, they don't know about God anymore. They don't know, as far as Pharaoh doesn't know Joseph. And so the Israelites start to grow in number, and Egyptians see this, and they say, you know what, these people are numerous, you know, we need to do something with them. They enslave the Israelites. And how many years were God sends Moses? Also the life of Moses, because Moses being born, you know, what were they to want them to continue to produce or grow in number? But we see that God is with Moses. And so we see that God finally, after how long was it? We see that Moses was also brought up within the Egyptians. You know, so something to think about, you know. It wasn't just, okay, you know, I'm just going to pick a random bow and, you know, back to Egypt. Moses had an idea. He grew up with the Egyptians, yet he knew that he was an Israelite. So when God gets ready to send Moses, Moses asked a question, and this is where I'd like to start my lesson tonight. This is where God asked Moses, you know, when I go back, whom should I tell these people that I am? Who shall I tell the Israelites that I am? What does God answer to Moses? What is God's answer to Moses? Who I am. And so that's what I'd like to talk about tonight, because, or that's part of what I'd like to talk about tonight, because I also ask myself this question. Do we serve the same God? Worship that God? And another question is, who is that God that we serve? So that's what I'd like to start off with tonight. So if we go to the book of Genesis, of course, I know that we read it several times, and we're not going to read it tonight, but just to get an understanding of who God is. We see that in the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. And so now we're starting to see who this God is that is talking to Moses. This is the creator of the world. And yet we see here that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that mankind, humans, hasn't been created yet. But God says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So this is that God. This is the creator. What else, what other words can we use for God? The Almighty God? Is there any other gods greater than this God? There isn't. And of course, we see that that in Moses' case, Pharaoh will see this through the hands of Moses, the power of that God. And once again, what I'd like for us to see is that, or learn tonight, is that this is the God that we serve. This God that we worship. The God, the I Am. And so, we see here that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Chapter 1 and verse 26. On the sixth day, what does God create? He created man. And he says in verse 26, and God, and I'm reading in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man. And we see here the what? The plurality of, or in the word us, which is what? God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit here saying, he says here on the sixth day, let us create man in our own image. And I'll ask this question to Brother Obed, because he answered this question for us on Sunday. What does it mean that we are created in God's own image? And let me just go ahead and read the whole verse, and then we'll let Brother Obed answer that question. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Brother Obed. So this is how God creates man on the sixth day. This is how he creates us, mankind. And so we see that this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we worship. The I Am. And he says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, I Am has sent me unto you. And something else I'd like to say about Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 is that God created Adam and Eve. Go to Matthew chapter 19 when they asked Jesus, is it lawful, you know, to divorce your wife? Jesus says, well, let's go back to the beginning. Adam, was he able to say, hey, you know what? I don't like Eve. I'll take. It was Adam and Eve. Same thing for Eve. That's the marriage that God created. And so, let's continue with our lesson, because I just want to have enough time. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. So, as Moses comes before the burning bush in chapter 3, let's begin with chapter 3, verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And so Moses looks at this burning bush, and he's looking to it, and he's walking towards it. And he says, behold, the bush burneth with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. What I'd like to talk about here is, this is Moses. And we see that God speaking to Moses. Now, do we ever, bringing it to our time, do we ever come before the presence of God? Remember what Scripture says, and I've got it written down here, that God is the Spirit, and those that should worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, we do come before God. And my question tonight is, how do we come before God? What is the attitude that we have when we come before God this evening? Are we in the presence of God? Is God among us tonight? He's among us. And so we see here that we are coming before the God, the creator of this world, the creator of mankind. So what should be our attitude when we come before God? When we gather as individually and as the Lord's church? Reverence to God. Do we show reverence to God when we gather in the name of Jesus Christ? So this is a question that we should ask ourselves. How do I come before my God? Because like we've said, this is the same God that is before Moses. He's the same God that we serve. He's the same God that we worship. I've got other examples that speak about the I Am. Because the I Am, and that's found in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. He says, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And the examples that I have is, if we turn over to John chapter 14, verse 6. And there might be other examples that we might think of, other scriptures. And these are just some of the ones that I chose. John chapter 14. And we know this verse by heart. We quote this verse a lot. John chapter 14, let's begin with verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus is comforting his disciples. And so this is what Thomas is asking Jesus. Verse 6. Now keep in mind what we're talking about as far as the I Am. God is eternal. God is the same yesterday, today, and what does Scripture say? Forever. And so listen to what Jesus tells Thomas here. I am the way. And he doesn't say it again, but he's also saying, I am what? The truth. And I am the life. And so this is what Jesus is telling Thomas and the disciples and trying to comfort them. He says, you know, I am the way. So there is, just like God was telling Moses and sending Moses, Jesus is comforting his disciples and he says, you know, I am the light. I am the truth. I am the way. And so we see here that this is what God is telling Moses as far as the I Am. When he goes before the Israelites, goes back to the Israelites to tell them that he's going to free them from Egypt. So we see here that this is the God that we serve. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. And this will be the last verse we read as far as the God that we serve and the God that Moses is going to go back to tell them, you know, this is the God that is going to free us from slavery. Someone read Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. It says that I am the what? What is Alpha? The beginning. And I am the end. And he is everything in between. So we see here that the God that we serve is the creator. He is the beginning. He is the in between. And he is the end. And so this is the God that is sending Moses. Now, once again, does God send us? Is he sending us? Do we have a commission? Do we have something to do? Just like Moses, and I just like to say this because we read the stories in Scripture, in the Bible, and we said, well, if I was in his shoes, in Moses' shoes, you know, I would have obeyed. I would have done, you know, if I was the Israelites, you know, in Egypt, I wouldn't have complained. Don't do it now in our times. What makes you think that we would have done it then? So, you know, God is giving us a commission. Matthew chapter what, 28? What does he tell us to do? God is speaking to us, not through the burning bush, but through his word. To do what? To get the Egyptians out of slavery? In a sense, to get the sinners out of sin through God's word. Now, what was Moses, what was his excuse that he gave God? He couldn't speak very well, but yet Scripture says that he was well taught, you know. He stuttered, but other than that, you know, he was a bright guy because Scripture says that he was, you know, taught in the Egyptian ways. You know, he was brought up within the Egyptians, so they didn't just teach him the ABCs, you know. So, but his excuse is that he stuttered. He says, "Who am I?" Now, another question pops into my mind. Do you think God was sending the right person? Of course. By that time, Moses had spent, he was 40 years in Egypt, and he had already spent how many years out in the wilderness? 40 years when this happens, as far as Exodus chapter 4, as far as when he's come before the burning bush. So he's 80 years old already. But all that training that he's had, what is it going to help him as far as being in the wilderness for 40 years? What happens when he goes back to Egypt and he finally gets the Israelites out of Egypt? They spend what? Another 40 years where? In the wilderness. I mean, so we see here, what the point I'm trying to make is God knows Moses. He knows the ability that Moses has. Don't you think that God knows our abilities? If God in Matthew chapter 28 has given us the commission to go out and make disciples, are we capable? Or should we be capable? Yes, we should. Now, some of us, you know, may not have the words that others have, but we can teach either by word, action, you know, we can invite our neighbors or friends or co-workers. So, is there an excuse for us? So Moses finally went. And so, we see then that as Moses comes before and he understands that the God that is sending him to free the Israelites out of Egypt, we all see that when he comes before God, once again, God tells him, take off the shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Let's talk about that. We've got 10 minutes, and I'd like to kind of go over what how it applies to us. Turn over to 1 Peter. And most of these verses, if Brother Obed lessons, 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. So if God is telling Moses, you know, take off your shoes because the ground that you walk on is holy, this is what God expects from us. He says here, this is what Peter says, because we see in beginning with chapter 1 that he says that that this inheritance, this incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, that is reserved for us in heaven, is because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he says now, he says beginning with verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So what does God expect from us? To be what? To be holy when we come before God. Now, what is holy? He's speaking to brethren that have already been holy. They've obeyed the gospel. And so what is Peter telling them here? Okay. And I've always been taught this since I was a young man. And this is the definition that I've heard, is someone that is set aside to do what is right. Sanctified. There you go. That's the word. So this is what God expects from us. Are we being holy? Now, Peter tells us here that we should be holy in what? In all conduct. In all manner of conversation. Part of our lives. Here at church, at services, at home, driving on the freeway, at the dentist, at the doctors, you know. We should have verse 15. Let's see, 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so God has cleansed us of our sins and made us holy. He expects us to continue to be holy because God is holy. And so if we've already said and established that when we come together and we gather as the Lord's church, we are before the presence of God, how should we come before God? Now, I'll ask this question. When do we begin to prepare? Let's say for... Scripture says that we should gather every first day of the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, or when we wake up. So we should have a holy conversation. Or our God. That God that created the world. The God that sent Moses to Egypt. And and this is how I see it. It's just my, you know, I relate it to things. I work for an apartment complex as a maintenance. And I used to hate Mondays. We all had a section that we had to clean, you know, the ground. Especially like this coming weekend, you know, Monday's a holiday. You come back, that's 3 days people have been home. And I mean the trash. But I learned not to see from the beginning to the end. I just looked on it, just, you know, started picking up. Before I knew it, I was done picking up. Don't, like Brother Joel said, you know, we take it one day at a time. Got to be holy, or we should be holy tomorrow. So, just to remind us, and I know that we've read this, John chapter 4, and this will be our last verse that we read, talking to the Samaritan woman. He says, Jesus said, beginning with verse 21, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor in the at Jerusalem, Father, you worship what you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God wants us to seek him. He's seeking for these true worshipers. But when we gather to worship God, God is the Spirit, and we should worship Him. We should give God the honor, give God the glory. There is no God, no other God other than the one that we serve, the one Alpha and the Omega. It says in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So let us keep this verse in mind. Do we come? Do we worship God in spirit and in truth? I like what here in the same book of John, Jesus tells Nicodemus. How can a man be born, you know, again? Jesus says, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot. So even for us to begin to worship God in spirit and in truth, we have to be born what? What is Jesus saying? By what? What is he telling Nicodemus? Water and the Spirit. For the worshipers that God is seeking after. Are we? So, I had so many other verses, but our time is up. Let's go ahead and end with a closing prayer. Holy Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for being our God. We thank you, Father, for all your blessings. Thank you for everything that you give us. We know that everything that we have comes from you. With us, Father, to this rest of this day, through our lives. Help us, Father, to be holy before thee. Watch over us. Be with those that were mentioned, those that are sick, those that have lost loved ones. Bless them, Father, and comfort them at this time. Forgive us, Father, when we fail thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.